Chapter 11. Lexi had just finished showering and was wrestling sprinkles into her harness when Nance, Ruth, and Helen appeared at her cottage door. "Where's Ida?" Lexi asked.
"Oh, she begged off," Nance said.
"Claimed she had to do something with Norman before he went out fishing tonight," Ruth giggled.
Lexi made a face and held her hand up. Considering Ida's comment earlier that day about the two things fishermen were interested in, she didn't want to know anymore. "Will you guys be okay? This could be a long walk, and a lot of it is uphill." Lexi realized the three women were clutching their giant patent leather old ladies' purses. "You're not bringing those purses, are you?"
"We bring these everywhere," Helen said. "They're loaded up with all kinds of useful items," Ruth added.
"You never know when something in here is going to come in handy."
Nance opened her purse and angled it toward Lexi.
"They look heavy," Lexi said.
"Why don't you leave them here, and you can pick them up on the way back? You'll be able to walk the path easier without them." The three women looked at each other. Nance held her purse out by the handles as if judging the weight, then nodded.
"You may be right, dear," she said, and put her purse on the table.
Ruth and Helen did the same with theirs.
"Okay, let's get this show on the road."
Nance opened the door, leading the way outside. They followed the same path Lexi and Jack had followed the other day. When they got to the top of the hill, Lexi had to stop to catch her breath.
"You guys don't even seem winded."
She stared at Nance, Ruth, and Helen.
"Oh, that's nothing," Nance said. "We do yoga, Pilates, and water aerobics. A little hill like this is child's play."
"Maybe you should consider joining us in our regular workout."
Ruth frowned at Lexi.
"You seem a bit out of shape."
Lexi looked down at her slim body.
"Out of shape?"
Well, sure, she was a bit winded after the climb, but she still looked good. At least, that's what Jack had said down at the beach.
"You're not in your 20s anymore,"
Nance added, looking her up and down.
"And you won't be able to keep that cute shape without having to work at it for long."
"Yeah, you don't think our girlish figures come without a price, do you?"
Helen ran her hands up and down the sides of her body, and everyone laughed.
"Okay, where's this path?"
Nance asked.
"Over here."
Lexi pulled sprinkles to the end of the path and walked the short distance to the back of the dining hall where the trails intersected. Nance glanced over at the dumpster, still marked with crime scene tape.
"Is that where?"
"Yep, that's where I found him."
Lexi shivered despite the warm afternoon air. Ruth walked right up to the crime scene tape.
"Maybe we should take a little look around. The police may have overlooked a clue."
"Good idea,"
Helen said. She held the tape up while Nance and Ruth scooted under, then ducked under it herself. The smell of old fish, sour milk, and rotting cabbage assaulted Lexi, and she pinched her nose shut.
"Can you guys hurry up?"
she said, except it came out as hubby up. Nance bent down, scuffing at the debris under the dumpster with her shoe.
"Come take a look at this."
Ruth and Helen bent over to take a look. Lexi pinched her nose even tighter and got as close as she dared, craning over the crime scene tape to see what they had found.
"Is that?" Ruth asked.
"I do believe it is," Helen replied.
Nance worked at something with her shoe, sliding it out from under the dumpster. She pulled a Kleenex out of her pocket, then bent over to pick up the item. She stood holding it in the air, careful to touch it only with the Kleenex.
"Is that blood?" Lexi asked.
The item Nance held up looked to be a swatch of fabric, plaid flannel. It was about 1 inch square and a rust-colored smear on it that looked suspiciously like blood.
"But whose blood?"
"I think so," Nance said.
Wrapping the fabric in the tissue, she slid it into her pocket.
"Is that Dugasse's blood?"
Ruth asked.
"It could be," But the fabric was wedged under the dumpster, so it could have been there before he was murdered.
Or it could have come from the killer.
I wish we had our own forensics lab.
Nance pressed her lips together.
I don't trust that Detective Payne not to fumble this up. He didn't even find that fabric when he searched the area.
True. He seems like a dope, Ruth said.
I don't see anything else. Do either of you?
Helen asked.
Nope. Let's move on,
Ruth answered. And the three of them scurried under the crime scene tape and then joined Lexi at the intersection of the paths.
So, which path?
Nance looked at Lexi. Well, this one goes to the front parking lot, so I doubt the killer used that one, Lexi said, pointing to the path on the left. Then she turned and pointed to one of the middle paths. And this is the only other one I haven't walked on.
Well, let's go.
Ruth started in the direction of the path in a power walk, and Lexi trotted after her.
We should slow down and look for clues. You know, anything unusual?
Lexi said, remembering Jack's advice.
Yes, we know what clues are, dear.
Nance teased. They walked leisurely, letting Sprinkles make her various pit stops. They were only about 20 feet down the path when Sprinkles found something she must have thought was irresistible. Lexi tugged on the leash, but Sprinkles insisted on sniffing whatever it was she had found under a small shrub.
What have you got, Sprinks?
Lexi bent down to investigate, hoping it wasn't a dead animal. It wasn't. Lexi picked it up and held it out for the ladies.
What is it?
Nance narrowed her eyes at the thin strip of leather with stainless steel spikes sticking out of it.
I think it's a bracelet, Ruth said.
Lexi wrapped it around her wrist, and it snapped closed with magnetic clasps on each end. Ruth was right.
Who would wear a bracelet like this? Lexi asked.
Maybe one of the teenagers? Nance said. Their ever-changing fashions always baffle me.
Maybe.
Lexi put the bracelet in her pocket and started forward.
I'll just keep it. It could be a clue.
The ladies nodded and followed her down the path. Like the previous day, the tall trees provided welcome shade. The birds chirped, chipmunks scurried in the leaves, and the smell of the woods made the walk relaxing and pleasant. Until they came to a section that became very dense and dark. Lexi hesitated, looking at the others.
Is it getting dark out?
No, it's just the woods are really thick here.
Nance looked back behind them.
The trail narrows, but it keeps going.
Nance forged ahead and Lexi followed. They had to walk single file since the trail was so thin and dense forest on either side made it impossible to stray. They walked in silence, Lexi's nerves getting more jittery with every step. Nance stopped abruptly, and Lexi almost rammed into her.
There's a clearing up ahead.
Nance pointed. Lexi craned around her to see. It looked like the path ended in a clearing with a small camp in the middle.
Let's check it out, Helen whispered.
They scuffled up to the end of the path, where they could get a better view of the small house. The picnic table sat in between the path and the camp, and there was a large campfire pit in front of it. 6 motorcycles were lined up next to the house. No one seemed to be there, except a large boxer dog that lay snoring on the porch. Nance motioned for them to crouch down behind a bush, and they all obeyed.
I wonder who stays here, she whispered.
Lexi shrugged.
Do you think they take the path to the dining hall?
I don't know. Someone does.
The boxer lifted its head and started sniffing. Sprinkles sniffed too and wiggled around. Lexi pulled the dog tight beside her.
Shh.
Lexi's heartbeat kicked up a notch when she saw the boxer get up from his place on the porch. He lifted his nose in the air, sniffed, then turned in their direction. Sprinkles started to growl.
The boxer started walking toward them.
Lexi shushed Sprinkles again. The boxer came even closer, and Sprinkles let out a yelp, then darted out from behind the bush, yanking the leash out of Lexi's hand and running in the direction of the boxer. Lexi jumped up, her heart jerking in her chest.
Sprinkles, come back!
She started off toward the dogs, ready to grab Sprinkles from the clutches of the menacing boxer. Sprinkles stopped in front of the boxer, and the two dogs calmly started sniffing each other. Lexi felt her shoulders relax. Then the door of the cabin exploded open, and two burly guys in leather vests burst out. One of them had a shotgun, and the other a knife. Lexi's heart pounded against her ribcage. As the largest guy, the one with the bandana on his bald head and a spider tattoo on his neck, pointed the shotgun at her.
"Who are you?"
he demanded. Lexi's mouth went dry. She tried to swallow, but it was like drinking sandpaper.
"I told you we should have brought our purses,"
she heard Nan's whisper from behind the shrub. The big guy narrowed his eyes in the direction of the shrub.
"Who's that? Is there someone behind that bush?"
Lexi looked back over her shoulder, and her heart sank as she saw Nance, Ruth, and Helen all stand up, their hands held up next to their heads, palms out.
"We're just some little old ladies from the resort,"
Nance nodded at Lexi and Sprinkles.
"I was just taking my granddaughter and her dog for a walk."
The two guys cut their eyes to the dogs, who had gotten around to sniffing each other's back ends. Lexi thought the dogs seemed to be making friends a lot easier than their owners.
"Hey, looks like Brutus found a friend,"
the smaller guy said. The big guy narrowed his eyes at the dog, lowering the gun slightly, then jerked it back up in Lexi's direction.
"Who sent you?"
Lexi's brows mashed together.
"Sent me? No one."
The two guys exchanged a glance. The smaller guy put his knife away and shrugged.
"They're grandmas," he said, pointing his chin in Nan's direction.
The big guy nodded, but kept his gun trained on Lexi.
"I suggest you take your dog, get on out of here, and don't come back."
Lexi ran over and grabbed Sprinkles' leash.
"Right, no problem. Sorry."
She turned and sprinted back toward the path, making sure Nance, Ruth, and Helen got away ahead of her. She glanced back over her shoulder every 20 steps, and her heart didn't stop racing until they were a full 5 minutes away.
"What was that all about?"
Nance asked.
"I'm not sure, but it seemed like a gang of unfriendly bikers to me,"
Ruth answered.
"Do you think they could have had something to do with Chef Dugasse's murder?"
Helen asked.
"I bet they either had something to do with it, or they know something," Lexi said.
"Just because they are bikers and acted like they didn't want us in their camp is no reason to assume they are killers,"
Nance admonished.
"It's not just that."
Lexi pulled the bracelet she'd found at the head of the trail out of her pocket and held it up in front of her. The guy with the knife had this exact same bracelet on. And since this one was found only 20 feet from the dining hall, I think it's safe to assume one of them has been to that kitchen at least once before.